Hey guys, before we get into today's episode, we wanted to give you a little bit of a trigger warning because on today's episode, we're going to talk a lot about very gory details regarding mutilation and bodily harm. This particular episode is living up to the name Shaken and Disturbed, so we wanted to make sure you, the viewers, and/or the listeners, were aware of this before we get into today's episode.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. Sorry, I thought I saw
Sorry.
it like hitting record. Anyway, welcome to Shaken and
That was
Disturbed,
my
everyone.
fault. Yeah.
John sucks. Nothing new here. End of podcast.
Damn.
Now, welcome to Shaken and Disturbed. I'm Darren Karp, Father God, here with the mistaking
Bad
genius, bad,
producer.
just bad person. Let's just
Bad
not even just let's not
production.
just let's not just narrow you down to what you do, right? Like you're a bad human.
Well, if you listen to the last NMR episode from last Sunday or earlier, if you're on Patreon, I was wondering why Darren never sent me a voice memo from, by the way,
You'll
spoiler
find out
alert,
why.
a celebrity recently told me that they really love me, basically. And
And it's not David Archuleta,
unfortunately
much
not.
to both of our
God,
dismays, but
imagine.
it is worth the story and worth the listen for NMR.
Thank
But
you.
we did determine that John's a bad person with a bad personality in that podcast. So
Cool.
if you don't already know that, might want to give that double listen.
Okay,
But yeah,
great.
just
Awesome.
say, but you know what,
All right.
John? We're at the end of Pride, so happy Pride, happy
Happy
last moments of
Pride
Pride.
Month. I got
And
my
I
Pride watch band that I wear every
Oh,
single
good, because
June.
we didn't know you were gay
In
before
case
the
you
whole
didn't
like
know,
Funko Pop thing and
you
like all
know,
that stuff.
oh, is that what it is? I'm sorry, my collectibles indicate my sexuality. No, this watch is to let everyone know that there is a homosexual amongst you whenever I'm
It
walking
might
by.
not be you, but like there's
But there is
certainly
one.
one.
There's one somewhere around
There's
here.
one. At
That's
least,
right.
guys, it's called Catch the Homosexual. You have to find
Oh,
him.
God.
I
Let's not
hope
even
you're
go down
getting.
that road.
I hope you're getting ready for the 4th of July. My brother's
Yeah.
getting married in Santa Barbara this 4th of July weekend, so I'm going to have so much to update all of you on. And
In
if
the
you're on
weeks to come,
Patreon,
yeah.
you're hearing this the week before the 4th of July. So what a value, what a gift for the
What a
holiday for our
gift.
independence. We're giving you your own independence, but
Your independence comes early
welcome.
on Patreon, is what
It
you're saying.
does.
Yeah.
It does.
I am ha at this point, I believe I am having this week off if you're listening to this on the public feed. So
Oh.
I'm just going to be
Well, look
chilling.
at
I don't know
you.
what I'm doing yet as we record this, though. I might go to the beach. I might just chill. I might just hug and kiss magic. We'll have to see. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, we're
There you
having
go.
someone stay with us for 3 weeks, and it's a
Who?
lot. But she's
Who?
going to Rehoboth Beach. Well, she's kind of in and out.
That's
You
where
think
I'm
it's
going. That's where I might be
well,
going.
you might. Well, I don't know if she's going for the July week, and I think she's going before
Oh.
that. But anyway, she's like, I'm going to someplace in Delaware, and I'm like driving, and I go, Rehoboth Beach. She goes, I don't. She's Australian. She was like, I don't
Oh.
know. I go, look it up. So she
It's
starts looking up.
probably
She
where you're
goes,
going.
I don't
Yeah.
know. I go, Rehoboth Beach,
You're going
Rehoboth
to
Beach.
Rehoboth.
And yeah.
There's literally one, pretty much one beach in Delaware. Yeah.
Well, I hope you all have a great 4th of July weekend and you're listening to this. But
Yes.
John, let's get into this week's case.
Absolutely. So the Ripper Crew, also known
Ooh.
as the Chicago Rippers, was a small gang of satanic cult members, essentially, who terrorized Chicago and its surrounding suburbs throughout 1981 and 1982. Now, we have a really exciting caveat here. Megan, remember our lovely producer, Megan, who writes and researches a lot of our shows, has added a note here. You know, Megan has always chimed in about devil worship and satanic things. Now,
She's the expert on all of these
what
things.
Megan does in her free time is none of our business. Let's just put it that way.
100%. We're not legally allowed to ask.
We're not legally allowed to ask, and we're not legally allowed to know either. Okay, so
Yeah.
there's that. But Megan did add this footnote to this research. She says, quote, "In my opinion, it's totally worth noting that this was a gang that committed murders in the name of, quote, devil worship, not to be confused with people who practice Satanism, which is a philosophy that urges its practitioners to value compassion and forgiveness above all else."
That's true. I actually
End quote.
know a Satanist,
Yeah.
and it is interesting because obviously the name sort of implies something evil, and
Right.
obviously these things get confused in the news if you hear Satanist, and
Satanic
but
panic and all that type of
exactly.
stuff.
But
Yeah.
honestly, Satanism is actually a really peaceful
I didn't
kind of
even know that.
belief system, in a
Yeah.
weird way, or lack of belief.
Yeah.
But yeah, worth kind of checking out. But yes, this is different than that. This is
Yeah.
really devil worship, and Satanism isn't worshiping the devil. Just
Yeah,
want everyone
that's
to
an
know.
interesting
Yeah.
thing. We should have Megan on to talk about some of this if
We
she would
should
like. I think
actually.
it's
Yeah.
interesting. She hasn't been on in quite some time. Well, nonetheless, this gang that I mentioned from Chicago was made up of four men: Edward Spreitzer, brothers Andrew and Thomas Cocorales, hopefully I'm saying that correctly, and the notorious ringleader Robert Gecht, who interestingly once worked as a construction subcontractor for John Wayne Gacy. What are the odds of that? That's kind of creepy.
I don't know, because
Or
there's
like
not a lot of
what?
serial killers. There's just not that many considering the population. So,
Yeah. Or what? Like, what are the odds? Because maybe these people have an energy that kind of like brings them around. You
maybe,
never know.
maybe.
John Wayne Gacy was a weirdo too, so that could be it. Well, the gang was known to cruise around for potential victims in Robin's red van, which was described by survivor Beverly Washington as having tinted windows, a wooden divider, and a roach clip hanging from the rearview mirror. The
Dope.
yeah, one of those types of things. Now, welcome to the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, well.
In the rear of the van, the gang had constructed a plywood wall with a door which opened into
Wow.
a compartment full of wires and power tools. This is going to get creepy,
This is a
guys.
little scary, okay.
The crew, of course, preyed on women from all walks of life, targeting different ages and races. Their crimes were very gruesome, involving kidnapping, gang rape, torture, mutilation, and murder. A signature aspect of their violence was, tragically and disgustingly, the mutilation of their victims' breasts.
Oh my God.
In some cases, they were removed with wire garrotes, knives, or even axes.
If
This
you
is getting
remember,
crazy.
a garrote was, I didn't know that term before we ended up really covering the JonBenet Ramsey
That's
case in
right.
full depth because she had a garrote. I always said garrote, but it's a garrote around
Yeah.
her neck, which is kind of like, a tightening that you can, you tighten
Right.
the loop kind of as much as possible. Not
Yeah.
necessarily a noose, but kind of.
Similar, right. In some cases with these guys, victims were even forced to mutilate themselves under threat of even worse bodily harm. I mean, this is pure torture. And some of these mutilated body parts were used in grotesque sexual rituals as well, including sexual acts performed on open wounds with severed body parts. So really hard. This one's going to be hard to stomach if you're not into the gory and grotesque. Let's just give you
This sort
that.
of sounds like that. Those headlines that you hear about when people say Satanism, but it's not actually directly correlated to that.
Right.
But this feels like one of the
It
reasons that I think
does.
there's reason to have satanic panic, or at least that it was out there. Now,
Yeah.
of course, this group also engaged, of course, they also engaged in cannibalism. The crew treated their rituals like a form of satanic communion, cutting up and eating flesh, often breast tissue, as part of the ceremony.
Ugh.
It's interesting when we see these, we've covered a couple of murders where there's sort of this ritualistic, religious aspect to the killings, cover them in cloth, wrapping them up,
Yeah.
sort of a, after they just killed and mutilated them, but a little bit of like a ritual respect for their sacrifice. And
Yeah.
respect is the wrong word. I'm
No,
saying it
yeah, I know
from
what you're
their
saying.
mind, what they're saying. But
Right.
so these acts were reportedly carried out in an attic space in Robin's home, which had been turned into a quote unquote satanic chapel. Thomas Cocorales later described the attic as containing an altar and a quote unquote trophy box that once held as many as 15 breasts. This is Ed Gein type of stuff, making nipple
Yeah.
belts and
Yeah.
whatever.
Ugh.
Well, on May 23rd, 1981, 28-year-old Linda Sutton was abducted from Elmhurst, a suburb of Chicago. 10 days later, on June 1, her body was found behind the Rip Van Winkle Motel in another part of town. Linda had been handcuffed, gagged, raped, stabbed, and her right breast had been removed. This is like a calling card almost for the for this this crew.
And I'll say too, it's like this is one of those kind of things where you're like, what kind of mental illness is clearly happening here? But it's also
But it's a
four
group
different
of people,
people.
right? It's a
Yeah.
group of people. So you kind of like it's
Crazy.
really interesting, concentrated to one, but this
Yeah.
does feel like sort of this religious thing that you all can just get on board with. Because I find it hard to believe that four serial killers who all have the same fetish met together,
Yeah.
but what do I
Good
know?
point. Good
So
point.
by the time Linda's body was discovered, her body had already begun to decompose. Investigators would later identify her as the Ripper crew's first known victim. On February 12th, 1982, a 35-year-old cocktail waitress was abducted after her car ran out of gas. Her body was discovered nude near an embankment. She had been raped, tortured and mutilated, with one of her breasts amputated. And just days later, a Hispanic woman was also found dead. She had been raped and strangled, and investigators discovered her with bite marks on her breasts and dried semen on her body. Little interesting here, obviously hard to say, because like our bite removing of a breast feels like a calling card, like I said, or
Yeah.
a mark of some sort, but bite marks on her breast and dried semen on her body just sort of feels like a sexual rape
Oh, yeah.
encounter. Doesn't necessarily feel like it could be related, but I guess we'll find out if these are
Yeah.
related.
Well, on May 15th, 1982, 21-year-old Lori Borowski was abducted in broad daylight from outside of her real estate office in Elmhurst. Her personal effects, including her makeup, keys, and even her shoes, were later found scattered outside of the office door. That's like haunting in and of
I don't, yeah,
itself.
I don't, yeah.
On May 29th, 1982, just a few basically days later, 21-year-old, I hope I'm saying this right, Shui Mok disappeared after being dropped off by her brother in Hanover Park and was never seen alive again.
Could never imagine that. Never want to be that brother. I can only imagine,
Yeah,
like, oh my God, I can't
I
even.
know. Couple days later, weeks later, on June 13th, 1982, a sex worker named Angel York survived a horrifying attack. She had been picked up in a van, handcuffed, and had her breast slashed open. Because Angel survived, she was later able to provide crucial information to investigators, which, by the way, often happens with these serial killers. They usually are too stupid to
I was going to
really
say,
kind of
never
cover their
underestimate
asses.
their stupidity, but oh my God, just thinking about that,
I
it's even
know.
as a woman, I mean, I'm just like dying over here. Oh
No,
my
it's
God.
disgusting. It's really
This is
horrific.
disturbing shit. Okay.
So on August 28th, 1982, the body of teenage sex worker Sandra Delaware was discovered on the bank of the Chicago River. Sandra was discovered bound, strangled, and stabbed with, again, her left breast completely amputated. A bra was actually knotted around her throat, and her wrists were tied with a shoelace. So it sounds like they're also using what they have available on the victim as
Sure.
well. A couple days later, on September 8th, Rose Beck Davis was found murdered in a Chicago alley, and she also had been raped, stabbed, and bludgeoned with a hatchet. Now, her case was particularly brutal. Her face was crushed, her
Oh my
breasts were
God.
cut, and her abdomen had several small puncture wounds. A sock was tied around her neck, and blood had pooled beneath her body. On September 11th, 1982, this is just to give you the breadth of what we're dealing with here. Carol Pappas, a wife of Chicago Cubs pitcher Milt Pappas, disappeared after a visit to a department store in Wheaton. She was never seen again, and her remains were never recovered. Unclear if she was particularly connected, but worth mentioning nonetheless. On September 30th, after 4 months of searching for the missing woman, Shui Mok's body was discovered outside of Chicago, and she had suffered a skull fracture that proved to be fatal. So it's a really prolific
Jesus.
time for these serial killers. It's very clear. I mean, I would be petrified and mortified to live in Chicago at this
And
time.
they're being captured in broad daylight,
Right,
just
exactly.
well, on October 6th, 1982, Beverly Washington, who we had mentioned up at the top of the show, who described the van, who was another sex worker, was discovered clinging to life near railroad tracks. Her left breast had been severed, and her right was badly slashed. Now, despite her injuries, she survived and later gave police a detailed description of both the van, which we described, and of Robin himself. That same day, a drug dealer named Rafael Tirado was gunned down while using a payphone, and another man with him was wounded in the attack. Though this hit is believed to be committed by the crew, it seemed totally unrelated to the cult activity.
I
And
mean,
on
they're
October.
men, so maybe there's a whole different motive with this situation, right?
Yeah, and we're talking
You would
about
think.
Chicago. Chicago's had sort of a, certainly a certain side
Yeah.
of it has had a sort of a tough time with crime.
Right.
Not everything's related necessarily to this,
Yeah.
but. On October 10th, the body of Lori Borowski was found abandoned in a cemetery. Her body was so badly decomposed that her cause of death couldn't even be determined.
Wow.
I can't even imagine how much you
Yeah.
have to be decomposed for that. I mean, the fact that you can prove the start of a fire when everything has like burned down is crazy. And
Right.
equate that to a body, you can't
Right.
like just think about how decomposed it must have been. Well,
Right.
on October 20th, 1982, Robin Gecht was arrested for the attempted murder and sexual assault of
There we
Beverly
go.
Washington. And 2 weeks after Beverly's escape, police made their first major break in the case. On October 20th, detectives took 28-year-old, I can't believe he was 28-year-old
28 doing this, yeah.
Robin Gecht into custody and formally charged him in connection with the brutal attack. Investigators also suspected Robin of another assault, and this time against a sex worker named Cynthia Smith, who had escaped from his van in a separate incident. As they began to dig into his background, detectives found themselves more and more unsettled by Robin. Now, if you're doing this at
Yeah.
28, I imagine you had a rough childhood.
To say the least,
I
right? I mean,
imagine he either was born this way or had something happen to him.
yeah. Well, actually, he had previously been accused of sexually abusing his younger sister,
Well, there you
although the
go.
case never really led to any charges. That was an allegation that was, put on against him. And given the striking similarities between Beverly's case and the recent murders, police believed Robin could be connected to the larger string of killings that were happening in the Chicago area. However, without any hard evidence tying him to any of the abductions, they couldn't really hold him in custody,
Sure.
which makes sense. I mean, you would think there'd be tons of like DNA related things, and we're going to get to exactly how this solved itself, but Robin actually posted bail and was released on October 26th. Meanwhile, the investigation took another turn when detectives learned that Robin had recently stayed at a local motel with three other men. The crew had moved into three neighboring rooms at the Rip Van Winkle Motel just a few months before the body of Linda Sutton was found nearby. So there's a huge correlation there. The motel's manager clearly remembered the group, actually. He told police the men were often loud and rowdy and regularly bringing women back to their rooms. He also made a startling claim. The manager believed the men were involved in occult practices and described them as some kind of satanic cult.
Well,
Two of the men who had stayed there, Thomas and Andrew, who were the brothers, had even left a forwarding address for their mail when they moved out. This is
wow.
all funny that this is all unfolding in a motel of all places, but okay.
Right.
Detectives tracked down 23-year-old Thomas and visited his home. And during questioning, Thomas seemed to keep changing his story. This combined with his, nervous demeanor, this raised a lot of red flags for the investigators, as you might expect. So police brought him in for further questioning and actually administered a polygraph exam, which he failed. Now, we've talked about polygraph tests before. In a court of
Specifically with the
law,
Cheryl Papini case,
that's
right?
right.
Because she didn't mark, or she did mark, positive or
Yeah.
negative. It doesn't necessarily prove anything other than a change in reaction to certain questions. So,
Exactly. So something just to keep in mind for
but either don't talk to police or keep the same
that.
story. Those are my
Well,
two
that's
pieces of
fair.
advice. Because once you
Yeah.
change your story, then it becomes hella sus. And
You're
after
right.
hours of interrogation, Thomas finally began to tell detectives the truth. He described a hidden room inside Robin's apartment where terrifying rituals had taken place. Now, according to Thomas, women were brought to this room against their will, and once inside, they were sexually assaulted and tortured by the crew, who used knives and power tools
Oh
to
my
mutilate their
God.
victims. Thomas admitted that the abuse was part of a twisted religious practice carried out in the name of Satan. He named the group's members Robin Gecht, his brother Andrew Coco Real, Coco Real.
Rallis,
Coco
Rallis.
Rallis, my God, 23-year-old Edward Spreitzer, and himself. He also told investigators about a ritual where one or both of the victim's breasts were removed using a
Oh,
wire.
my God. We can't
I
even,
don't
let's
even
not
want to
even pretend.
comprehend what that.
Yeah.
There's one thing running through my mind, and it's terrible, and I can't even speak.
Yeah.
The group would then eat small pieces of the severed flesh as a form of ritual communion and store the remains in a box that Robin kept hidden. How did this not smell?
I'm sure it did. I mean, if it's only the four of them going in and
In a
out of
hidden,
there,
I guess,
yeah.
but like hidden room, like shit seeping through the walls.
Ugh, yeah, right.
Thomas claimed he had seen as many as 15 severed breasts inside Robin's box. He also confessed that some of the murders had taken place right at the motel in Villa Park, which we know a body
Wow.
was found
Yeah,
there.
that's right.
When shown a photograph of Lori Borowski, Thomas identified her as someone he and Andrew had picked up. He confessed she was taken to the motel and never seen again. With these new
Wow.
confessions, authorities moved quickly to try and put a stop to the nightmarish gang. Oh
And
my
remember, this is in
God.
the 80s, so it's probably a little harder to kind of track these people down. So The fact that they were able to get this kind of information is a huge break in the case. Well, on November 5th, officers obtained warrants and arrested Robin, Edward, and Andrew. Each was held on a $1 million bond. A search of Robin's apartment turned up the hidden room that Thomas had described perfectly, along with occult literature and a rifle that matched ballistics from a recent unsolved shooting. So that's good news. There's more justice happening there. Police also recovered satanic writings from the apartment where Andrew had been staying. Based on what they had so far, investigators believe the group could be responsible for as many as 18 murders committed over the previous year and a half. That's crazy. 18?
Wow.
On November 12th, Thomas was formally charged with the murder of Lori Borowski. 2 days later, on the 14th, both Andrew and Edward were charged with the rape and murder of Rose Davis. And on November 16th, the body of 22-year-old Susan Baker was discovered. And although investigators linked her death to the crew, no charges were ever filed in relation to her murder. And though Robin initially tried to avoid a trial by claiming mental defect, he was evaluated by the court and ruled mentally competent in March of 1983. His first proceeding ended in a mistrial, and his second trial began on September 20th, 1983.
Well, on February 17th, 1984, Robin was found guilty for the attack on Beverly Washington and sentenced to 120 years in prison. Despite
Wow.
his role as the apparent gang leader, Robin himself was never convicted of murder.
Kind of like a Manson situation, right? Like, if you think about it.
Yeah, I
Because he never
mean,
murdered anybody, technically.
yeah, he was just the leader of the one sort of manipulating, but yes, he never technically put his hands to anybody. Edward Spreitzer pleaded guilty to the murders of Rose Davis, Sandra Delaware, Shuey Mock, and Rafael Tirado. He received life sentences for each murder, plus additional time for his numerous other violent crimes.
You love
Thomas
to
was
hear it.
love hearing that. I'm just trying to think, like, he was found guilty for the, sorry, I'm going back to
No.
Robin. Because he was never convicted of murder, but he was found guilty of the attack, getting 120 years in prison, which is a life sentence, right? I mean, like, no one's living to 120, even you get
Of
convicted at age
course.
zero. But I'm just curious, kind of how,
How they land on
how
that?
they landed on that. I guess he was a conspirator, so that's probably, he led the crew.
There was
Just,
probably even more evidence that sounded made to him terrible, even terrible, more terrible, I should say.
So Thomas was convicted of Lori Borowski's murder and was sentenced to life in prison. Andrew and Edward were also indicted for this murder. Though Thomas's conviction was later thrown out due to a procedural error, he ultimately pled guilty to Lori's murder and was resentenced to 70 years in prison. But this time he was eligible to serve only half the sentence due to his good behavior. I mean, listen,
Wow.
if it's getting thrown out and then you ultimately plead guilty again, like, okay, maybe he's cooperative. Obviously, he helped them find the house and the room, and you do get something for being honest with the
Being
police.
cooperative,
On February 6th, 1985, my brother's birthday,
The
the
same
day he
exact
was
day?
born, February 6th, 1985, that's when he was born. The court read a statement from Andrew Kokoralis in which he confessed to kidnapping and stabbing Rose Davis. He was sentenced to life in prison. He was later sentenced to death for the murder of Lori Borowski. And on March 4th, 1986, Edward Spreitzer was convicted of murdering Linda Sutton. This time he was sentenced to death for this crime.
Got it.
About 12 days later, on March 16th, well, sorry, not 12 days later, 12 days later and 13 years
13
later,
years.
March 16th, 1999, Andrew Kokoralis was executed by lethal injection for Lori's murder. Andrew was the last person executed in Illinois before the state declared a moratorium on the death penalty. So
That's
all these guys
interesting.
are getting their due. Let's just say that.
It's crazy that we're now in the 2000s because in January of 2000, then Governor George Ryan officially halted all executions in Illinois, as Darren had just mentioned. By January 2003, he had left office and Governor Ryan commuted every death sentence in the state. That
Wow.
included Edward Spreitzer, who was removed from death row and is now serving life in prison. On March 19th, tw or excuse me, March 29th, 2019, Thomas was released after serving 35 years of his
Good
sentence.
behavior. Good behavior.
He took up residence at a Christian ministry in a suburb of Chicago.
Side note. If this guy can get released, knowing he's part of all these murders on Good Behavior, then what the fuck is wrong with the Menendez brothers getting released?
Don't even go down that road. Yeah,
Because
I
this
know. Isn't that
guy was
nuts?
part of it, so I don't understand.
Yeah, I know. Well, like you, the local community and mayor were outraged by his release, actually. In a 2019 interview, Thomas said he wanted to be left alone and denied being a monster. He said he hoped to become a better Christian and a productive member of society. Okay, well,
Okay. Well, I
that's
mean, if he
good
got out
news,
on good
but
behavior, 35 years of good behavior,
I mean, I don't
maybe
know how
he's changed.
these families are thinking about that, but
Yeah, I
yeah.
don't know. Yeah.
So as of May 2022, which was the last time we could kind of get the information here, he was living in Peoria as a registered sex offender. And although he is not on parole, he is required to check in with law enforcement quarterly. And he had last checked in with the police on August 1st, 2022. So, kind of a spooky story when you think about it. By the end of this story, it's like, oh, these are some of the worst crimes you've ever heard committed. And oh, by the way, some of them are out on legalities, you know? So that's kind of
And that's the way
nerve-wracking to
that, and
me.
that's the, and unfortunately, that's the best system that we kind of have for that. Obviously, nothing is perfect. And you do
Yeah.
hope that for every guilty person that goes free, it also means that an innocent person doesn't go to prison based on those same rules. So it's not a
Right.
perfect system. These things happen, but I think ultimately and hopefully justice does get served. So let us
Right.
know what you think of this gruesome case, or if you've heard of the Ripper Crew before.
I
At Jay
hadn't, by the
Thrasher,
way.
at Carpe Darren. I hadn't either, perhaps because it was kind of happening in like a, like I knew Son of Sam that was happening
Yeah,
around the time
right.
because of just previously just being a New Yorker and hearing about it. But yeah, let us know what you guys think. At Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, like I said, and let's end on some positivity.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out, as I mentioned on last week's NMR episode, to a longtime listener and supporter of the David Archuleta Thrasher movement.
Oh, is this a movement?
This is a movement that's happening. It's sweeping the nation,
It's
actually.
sweeping. Actually, the
Yeah.
No Kings rallies that were being held was really,
What's for this?
they just
Yeah.
didn't want to scare David Archuleta. It had nothing to do with politics. This was just
That's
everyone
fair.
rising up and saying, like, hey, let's get these two together.
Hey,
These crazy cats.
these
Let's
crazy
get these
kids.
two together. Thank you, John, for saying
You're
that because
welcome.
I felt like obviously that
Okay.
was, it had a greater
Yeah.
cause. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's give the shout out to Dustin Clay Owens. Dustin was hidden away in my like requests folder on Instagram all these years because, like I said, Darren, we're just so famous. We're just everyone wants to hit us up. Guys, I'm trying to get to all my requests. There's a lot of you that I didn't even know were messaging me. But Dustin, thank you for your love and support for so long of not just me, but the show as well.
Thank you, Dustin. And Brooke in our Facebook group weighed in about a recent episode where we asked if cars have
That's
black
right.
boxes.
Yeah.
Turns out she knows. She says, quote, I'm catching up on episodes and I'm on 115. Yes, cars do have black boxes. It's commonly called an EDR, and it usually will record the last like 10 to 15 minutes before an impact, like speed if you're coming from a top position, etc. I get a lot of requests for them as I work in auto claims. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. I
I know
mean,
that they can understand tire marks and obviously like the
right.
wreckage of a scene and like if they skidded or how fast that they were going based on that stuff, but I had no idea they had like black
Yeah.
boxes. Wow.
I didn't either.
Thanks,
And thank you,
Brooke.
Brooke, for taking the time to let us know that. Also, I said that she's let us know about a recent episode. Yeah, that one was from May of 2023. So I don't know what I was thinking there. That's okay.
Well, it's recent in terms of,
In years.
me living in New York. Yeah,
Right.
geologically, it's recent.
Right.
In our timelines, it is not.
Yeah. By the way, just really quick caveat as we end this episode. Darren, do you know do
Uh-oh.
you remember how on the Apple Podcasts app they put pictures of us and yours was like a weird AI picture that never existed?
Yes. It was
It's
like I had
still
like
up.
weird teeth.
And your hair is like almost gray.
Gray.
It's still up. Like, where is this
I
picture?
look like
Like,
90 in it for no
it
reason.
just it's not even the thing I'm confused about is it's not even a real picture of you. So like, what
Right.
is going on here? Like,
And
why
if you
is
Google me,
Apple?
like there's plenty of pictures. Go on my
Yeah.
Instagram, fucking Apple.
My picture I don't think is real either, but I at least don't look completely
Let us
like
not go back
AI.
to the episode with your AI headshots, John.
Oh God, that was a whole yeah, at least those aren't published on
With your
Apple Podcasts.
teeth.
If you guys have Apple Podcasts, go scroll down to the bottom
Don't.
of our show.
Don't. We're all
Of our
set on that.
show.
Don't.
of our show page, and you'll
And
see
see
our
what I'd look like in
faces. It's
65
weird.
years, inshallah.
Yeah, it's
Yes.
weird. It's weird. Well, anyway, guys, be sure to join us on Patreon to help support the show. And if you're listening to this on our main podcast feed, you can get this episode 1 full week earlier on Patreon. You're going to know all the inside details and what the case is before anybody else. And another friendly shout out, Darren, to our friends on the chalkboard here. If you sign up to be a sussy
I'm dancing
radish,
to it, John.
Darren's dancing on YouTube and on Patreon. If you sign up early, excuse me, as a sussy radish on Patreon, your name can be appeared here. Sophia, Marty, Kimberly, Sandy, Tara, Sam, Heather, Stephanie, Susan, Mitz, Paula, Molly, Ruth, Morgan, Ariana, Roxy, Denise, Jane, and Krista,
Krista.
our top
Yeah.
patrons every single
Can't believe you
week
said
here on the show.
everything at the same time. It's so funny. You and I
Isn't
are
that
so
amazing? I'm
good.
such a
Yes, so
professional.
good. Well, guys, your support goes a long way. So join us at patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed or click the link in our show notes. We make it easy for you.
We love you guys. Enjoy if you're listening to this publicly, the 4th of July, if you celebrate, be careful. It's one of those holidays where accidents happen. So
Too
please be
much
careful.
freedom. That's
Too
the
much
problem.
freedom is happening on the 4th of
That's the
July.
problem in this
That's the
country.
problem. And of course, take care and brush your hair, even if it's AI generated on Apple Podcasts.
Especially on 4th of July, people love drinking on 4th of July. Please be neat. Wipe the seat. Be courteous, people.
Oh my God. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.